WhatsApp us on 084-786-3132. This segment is proudly brought to you by Capital Air.
Hi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. 3 minutes after 11. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning. The Bliss of Marriage Part 2. Every Wednesday is between 11 to 12 o'clock. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. That's me. And of course, our beloved senior, respected, honorable Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Malana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhahullah. Just to all the beautiful listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Ismail and Company, and the beautiful listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It's today the 2nd of Rabi'ul Akhir, 1442. Corresponding to the 18th of November 2020. I want to welcome my beloved engineer this Wednesday morning, none other than Brother Tobella. Our WhatsApp number 084-786-3132. 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Let's welcome our beloved senior Ustad into the program. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
There's a listener says, Ya Ustad, that I got married after 7 years of being a widow and I am the second wife. Mufti Sahib, my husband said he will accept my 3 masoom children. Now it's 3 months. He says I must choose him or the kids. I should have just listened to my parents. Anonymous sister, where will I go? Where will my kids go, Ustad?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Here there are 3 dimensions and 3 aspects to this question. Number 1, we told you this over 100 times. Remember that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala speaks about the importance of parents in Surah chapter 17 verse 24. And Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, La nikaha illa bi waliyin, that nikah is not valid and it will not be accepted except with the consent of the wali, and the wali will be the guardian, the father or the grandfather, dada, paternal grandfather, or the brother of the lady there. So that is what is meant and implied, is authentic hadith in Tirmidhi Abu Dawood. So, yeah, you got married after being a widow for 7 years. You have children from your previous marriage. The second husband used you and now he's abusing you and telling you you must choose him or choose the children. Obviously, he knew that you had children and now after using you, now he says you must make the choice. So, obviously, that is haram from his side there. He can't tell you to make such a choice. Remember that. So you must make istikhara, whether you want to stay in this marriage or whether you want to come out. Read Allahumma khirli wakhtarli. Oh beloved Allah, you select the best for me and you choose for me. The hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. There's nothing like in istikhara that you must go and sleep or you must see a dream. None of that is sunnah or compulsory. It's just a suggestion, opinion of some ulama. So you don't attach much importance that people start thinking it is sunnah or compulsory that after istikhara you must sleep, you must see a dream. There's nothing like that. Just read Allahumma khirli waqtarli, and whatever comes in your heart and mind, that is your decision. Third one, this brings us back to the point which I mentioned also more than 100 times. Islam has allowed polygamy, that you have 2, 3, 4 wives at one time. time. But the ayat does not stop there. Mathna wa thulatha wa ruba. Fa in khiftum alla ta'dilu fa wahida. This is a perfect typical example. This person has a wife. Now he saw this lady here. She is in dire straits and maybe in the same town or different town, or maybe he heard of her from his sister or family members. And he said, this is very good. So now he proposed to her. She accepted, although that her own parents were against it. And now he used her, abused her, used her as a spare wheel. And now he tells her that make up your mind. You want me or you want your children? Obviously, that now he wants to get rid of her. And therefore, he gives her such an ultimatum. So that's the point I'm making. When we speak against the second, third, fourth marriages, we are not speaking against that marriage itself. We are speaking against the injustices that take place in the second, in the third, in the fourth. And I gave you the example. Even today, you go to any country, Muslim country, non-Muslim country, put 100 Muslim men who have 2, 3, 4 wives, you will find 70, 80, 90% are oppressing one of the wives, either the first one, second one, third one, fourth one. You will hardly find 10, 20, 25% doing true justice, while that justice is a prerequisite and condition. So therefore, my advice to you, sister, and always in future, consult with your parents, and remember, don't think that you are too clever, and so forth. Now see what it is has landed you up. Go and ask them for forgiveness, and tell your husband that it's better that he releases you, because it is your right that you must stay with your children. You can't give up your children, and what he's doing is totally haram by giving you such an ultimatum.
Somebody says here, dear Mufti Saab, I am married with kids. My husband is a stingy miser. He doesn't want to pay me nafaka or provide for the kids, Ustad. Now, as a woman, I complain to the local imam without my husband knowing, and he says he will give me some money. Should I accept that money, Ustad? Anonymous?
Today he'll give you money, and tomorrow he will tell you, you must do him some favors. Al insanu abdul ihsan. Remember that very few people you will get in this world, they'll give you something and forget about it. So you must remember that today he'll give you money, and then the next day something else, and then he will soften you up, and one thing will lead to another. How many instances we know like that as well? So remember, just forget all that there. What you are asking is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, is mentioned in Muslim Sharif. One day, let's get the names right. The husband is Abu Sufyan, radiallahu anhu wardah, is Sahabi. He brought Iman on the occasion of Fatih Makkah. His wife is Hind or Hinda, both you can read. So Sayyida Hind radiallahu ta'ala, she embraced Islam. And that is the beauty of Islam. Once you embrace Islam, your sins of the past are forgiven. So, innal Islam yahdimu ma kana qabla. When you embrace Islam, then the vices and the sins you perpetrated of the past are forgiven. Against Almighty Allah, what you owe people, all that obviously you have to pay. Nevertheless, so she, Hind, came to Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulallah, this husband of mine, Abu Sufyan, is mumsikun, misikun. So you find all these type of words, different words, which means that is but a hard with the money. So what must I do? So Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Khudhi bil ma'roof. You can help yourself according to justice and so forth. So in our terminology, in our time, in our era, I tell you women, where your husband is really kanjus, makichus, so he's really a miser, and so, you know, that stingy, he don't want to spend even one rand extra on you. So in a case like that, you can go and help yourself from his money, but with one hand, not with two hands. You understand what I'm saying? Not you keep on taking, then you're going to cause trouble also. So remember that little bit you help from his money, you help yourself, so that will be permissible, but that is with the provision and condition that he is extremely stingy and extremely a miserly person. Then only would it be permissible to do so.
Let's go to an angry sister, Ustad. Molanas are very quick to comment when we widows lose our husbands and say we ladies should not go out to work to support our families. We are not beggars, and Jamiats just don't care about us. We have absolutely nothing to support us, and they say come back after 3 months. What choices do we have but to go to work, Honorable Ustad?
Remember, sister, I can understand your desperation. I can understand your frustration. But, sister, remember we are Muslim and Muslima. I'm Muslim, you are Muslima. So when we say we are Muslim, Muslima, it means we submit, we surrender, and willingly, lovingly, sincerely to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and to Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's teaching and preaching. That is the meaning of being Muslim and Islam. Now let us take the various options available for you. When a husband passes away, and now there's a wife, there's children, so what should happen in a true Islamic family situation, country, or non-Muslim country? So remember that after the husband's burial, funeral expenses are paid, then the debts of the deceased must be paid, whether it is personal, corporate, business debts, all debt must be expedited. Justice delayed is justice denied. Justice delayed is justice denied. Third one is wasiya. Wasiya means to bequeath. For a person, the person could be Muslim or non-Muslim. And for organization, you say give Markaz Sahaba, you say give Radio Sirius FM, you say Radio Al Ansar. These are examples, obviously. Or give the masjid, give the madrasa, and so forth, so on. So maximum 1/3 of the net estate. So the people you are giving this wasiya to must be non-AIDS, one condition, and maximum 1/3 of the net estate. So that is number 3. Fourth one is the shares of the AIDS. So once you have a child or children from him, so remember, or from a previous husband, but we just say from him in this case, so you will inherit 12.5%. So that's already income for you. But maybe your husband was just living hand to mouth. He was a pauper, poor guy. So there wasn't anything really to inherit. Then we come to the second scenario. So what is the second scenario? His family, so his uncles, his brothers and so forth, and if his father is alive, then they must be the one to sustain you, maintain you and your children. So that is the second option. Third option, now that they also are not interested, they neglecting you, neglecting the grandchildren and so forth and so on, then you come to the third option. So what is the third option? That now you are in dire straits, there are bills to be paid, the rental, the water lights, the food, the clothing, all these type of things. So who's going to pay for all this? So you are suggesting you want to go and work. Now let us see what happens if you go and work. Hypothetically, that you will have to wear certain type of clothes which are un-Islamic. Second, you will have to miss certain salat, Allah forbid, which is totally haram. Third one, you will have to interact with males, strange men and so forth. So therefore, Islam said, for you, the lady, to go and work is totally haram. So in your estate is hardly anything. Your in-laws family are not really interested in supporting you or the children. So we come to the last one. So what will that be? Then remember, the Ummah and Muslimah has zakat, and they have millions to give, billions to give. So, and you say you went to the Jamiats and they tell you come after 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, whatever the case might be. So they also failed you. So remember, then the Ummah, your family, friends, all of them, they must now collect the zakat money and empower you and give it to you. That zakat money, when you don't have cash, you don't have jewelry, is 100% halal for you. And for you as a widow, that you go out and work, or a virgin, you go out and work, so, or a divorcee, all that is totally haram and unacceptable. So look at the options Islam has given you, but because we do not know it, or because somebody told us some words, unkind words, made unsavory comments, so now we feel that let me break the laws of Islam, and then I will go and work and so forth. So that is wrong, sister. I gave you what should happen. And And to you, husbands, remember whilst you alive. Surah 4, verse 19. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Treat your wives with love, with respect and justice. Give them as much as possible during the lifetime. While the marriage is subsisting, give them the money, give them the jewelry, give them the coins. Whatever you can give, give them. So tomorrow when you are not there, remember she does not have to go to the Mawlana. And then Mawlana says, don't worry, Exal Alas Rehmak, I'll sort it out. But he's got another hidden agenda and ulterior motive. Or she has to go and work there, interact with another 50, 100 men. So that is why we say that mahar and the marital gift, don't only give on the occasion of the nikah. Every week, every month, give your wife something so she will have something saved for that rainy day.
I see we've got a new listener here. Says, Mufti, I am from Annadale. I'm listening to your program. I have a serious dilemma. Should I shut my mouth or open my mouth? Recently, I caught my father-in-law being jiggy-jiggy with the domestic. I don't even have the guts to tell my husband, let alone warn my mother-in-law. Ek is baie woelig, ek is kwaad. Annadale, Ustad.
Ja, je moet kwaad worden. De opa is oud, maar dat is niet koud nie. So opa was busy there with the domestic and so forth. But today, that's the trouble. You must remember that we allow anybody in our house. And remember that whether he's old, he won't be cold. And when he gets the opportunity, he will take advantage. He will pay the lady 5 rand, 50 rand, 100 rand, whatever he can. So all this because we took the laws of parda and hijab, and we threw it out. So what must you do? You must explain this to your husband and tell him when he's in a good mood. This is what happened. That much you must do. You don't have to tell your mother-in-law that your husband can sort out whether he wants to tell his mother or not. But my message to you is something else. My message to you is this. You and your father-in-law are living in the same house, and that is how you caught him offside. So you must remember, you need to be very careful yourself. You must remember that if you are alone and he's alone, he will try even his luck with you, Allah forbid. So you must remember, when people continue, and believe you me, it can never be the first time he's doing this. Allah's sunnat, Allah's system is this. People will commit the crime once, twice, thrice or more, then Almighty Allah Jalla Wala exposes them. Today, remember, somebody sent me a clip, like, you know, a message, and he said the wives, they give sound advice. Listen carefully. The wives, they give sound advice. 99% is sound and 1% is advice. So you understood that?
Mm-hmm.
So meaning that 99% they make noise and 1% they speak good. So he says the wives, they give sound advice. So 99% is sound and 1% is advice. So you have to give advice to your husband that this is what happened and so forth and so on. And therefore you don't know what to do, so you're confiding in him. So he must sort it out as he wants to know best. But you also, sister, must know that don't be in such a position where you are alone with opa. Opa is old, but has ni cold ni. He's old, but he's not cold. And last advice I want to give, remember, none of us, today's world, none of us, no Maulana, no Mufti, no Imam, no Sheikh, none of us are like Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. So therefore, always read. Just today I read this dua. Allahumma, read with me. Allahumma, oh beloved Allah, hassin farji. This is for male and female. Allahumma, oh beloved Allah, hassin farji. Oh Allah, you protect my private part. So always, because today everything is available. You just pay, you flash the money, and then the woman is ready, the male is ready, everything will happen. So only Allah protects us. Remember that. May Allah Allah Ta'ala protect us from fornication, adultery, gay brigade, all these haram activities that are so freely available in these satanic systems they call democracy. Remember, democracy, capitalism means everything is for sale. You must remember that. You can sell the woman, you can sell the man, you can sell this one, you can sell everything. The price is right, then it's lungile. That is the meaning of capitalism. So the shaitan yet, you must remember, Islam, he said, is totally haram. And when your person commits fornication, that they are not married, male or female, then take them out in public, fajliduhum, and give them miyata jalda. That you must give them azaniyatu azani, fajlidu kulla wahidim minuma miyata jalda. 100 lashes for each one in public. And Surah 24 verse 2. And when it is adultery, you married, then for both male, female, that it is the death penalty. So Islam promotes and advocates a pure and a chaste society.
I see the brother says, Mufti Saab, I love your show, The Bliss of Marriage. I don't ever miss out. I am a divorce for 5 years. I pay maintenance regularly, yet my ex-wife won't let me see my kids. She has poisoned their minds against me. I feel so helpless. What do I do? Anonymous brother, do I take my frustration out on them, Ustad?
Remember that what your ex-wife is doing is totally haram, and she, obviously, I must put this rider as well. We answer the questions as the questions are posed to us. We are well aware it is one side of the story, but remember, we try and help the ummah, because people have such huge problems. You can just listen to all the problems now. So let's give you the verse, my brother, and somebody that you can send a message to her father, father, mother, whoever, and brother, and knock some sense into her, your ex-wife. Surah 47, chapter 47, verses 22-23. I read for you. In tawallaytum, when you have authority. So yes, she has authority because she has custody over the children. Antufsidu fil ard, that you cause mischief, mayhem, chaos on this earth. So you started poisoning the mind of your children. Yeah, your father is like this, your father is like this. Children are now in their formative years. They're growing up, they're like a sponge and they will absorb everything. Even if they see their father, they will look at their father with a hatred. They will look at their father with a poison eye, because you brainwashed them. So see what Quran is saying. In tawallaytum, when you have authority. So in your context and text, you got custody. And tufsidu fil ard, you cause mischief, you poison their minds. Third one, watuqatti'u arhamakum, and you severed the family ties. Mm. So you told them that they must never go to the father, and the father you got, he's never allowed to see his children. 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, Allah alone knows. Now what are the consequences? Ramification, chapter 47, verses 22-23. This is Allah's kalam, direct speech of Allah, sister. Ittaqillah, fear Allah. Ulaika alladhina la'anahumullah. Those are the people Allah curses them. So you must remember, Allah will deprive you of His special mercy. For aswammahum, Allah will make you spiritually deaf. You don't want to hear the truth because you think you are in comfort zone. And you are spiting him, you're showing him a point. So that is the main criteria normally people work, which is haram. Wa'ama absarahum, and Allah makes you spiritually blind. You don't see the truth because you don't want to see the truth. So chapter 47 verses 22-23. However, if I turn it the other way around, she will say, her counterclaim will be that you assaulted her, you were on drugs, you had bad friends, you had bad elements, and therefore she does not want to give you that visitation rights and so forth and so on. I'm just playing, you understand, advocate here, devil's advocate, to try and balance things up here. So remember, if that is true, then you also have to sort out your life. But remember, for the wife, the mother of those children, that to deprive the father, her ex-husband, from visitation rights is totally haram. But two wrongs don't make a right, my brother. Now you say, okay, they're not allowing me visitation rights, so I will not pay maintenance. No, you continue paying because it is your children. One day when they grow up, you can look straight to them in the face and say that, you know what, your mother did not allow you to come to me or for me to come and visit your children, and she poisoned your mind, but I, as my father, I still have love for you, I have feeling for you, and Allah Jalla Wala will reward you.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Ustad, the question says here that a girl that's in Parda will be getting married in about 2 weeks. She's going to be staying with in-laws and has brother-in-laws who are small still, Ustad. One is 17 and the other is 8. Must she make Parda for them? She says she's very strict on Parda, doesn't show her face to non-mahrams, even her cousins. And now her father-in-law says that her brother-in-laws are still small, so she mustn't wear her parda. Ustad, anonymous.
First of all, before I forget, our Maulana Arafat has a program on Fridays, 10 o'clock to 10:30. So those of you who got nikah this week, next week, 2 weeks, send it to Maulana, then they will announce it, inshallah, and people will make dua. So that is what you need. Now see how people try and justify things. You say that you are in parda and you're going to get married, everything is fixed, handu ne nakki take you, as you say, everything is confirmed. But now you're going to that house with your husband, and it seems with your in-laws also, and they're your husband's brothers. What's small? When he's 17 years old, what is small in that? So between you and him, parda is compulsory, is first. So remember, you don't listen to your future father-in-law, you don't listen to your mother-in-law, you don't listen to your husband, even if he tells you that. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's two ahadith, both are in Mishkat Sharif. La ta'ata li makhlukin fi ma'asiyatil khaliq. There is no obedience to any creation when it breaks the laws of the Creator. Second one, they ask Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam the same story what you are asking. What about the husband's brother? Habibuna rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, alham al-maut. How you fear death, you have that natural aversion, fear of death. You must fear him, your husband's brother, that is your brother-in-law. And don't come with that story, he's small. He's 17 years old. He gets married today, after 1 week, his wife will be pregnant maybe. So you must remember that. So all that you need to understand. You've still got time. I don't want to upset anything. But if I am you, and you can see already there will be many pitfalls, you and your husband will be fighting, then your father-in-law, then your mother-in-law will be poking the nose and all these things. Just tell them, you know what, me, I'm prepared to marry. But you know what, rather give me separate outbuilding, give me separate flat, give me separate house, we'll pay rental, it's fine. But all this, one side you're playing the holy game, that me, I'm very strict and all that. So remember that, don't come with a holy game when you're going to give in to your husband, when you're going to give in to your future father-in-law, mother-in-law. Fala tu zakku anfusakum. Don't try and purify and sanctify yourself. Huwa a'alamu biman ittaqa. Only Almighty Allah knows who got real taqwa and piety. So for all intents and purposes, I'm giving you brotherly advice. I'm taking you as my sister. And remember that I don't know you, but I can see the red flashes already that you're going to have big problems in this issue, yeah? And then you will say that they are telling me this. And so you still got time. So you must remember, I told the students the other day when I was there in Newcastle, then Moha Qasim Sema Rahimahullah phoned me on that Saturday afternoon and told me, you must come that Monday, the Alum is starting 1981. It was 17, 18th or something of January. That was the date around there. So when I went, and he told me over the phone, don't bring your wife. There's no houses here. There's the ISCO boom and all these type of things there. So I said, fine, I want to just get in. So when I went there, everything, I used to stay there where Maulana Mumtaz Ulak, Maulana Mansur Ulak, they were gone to Pakistan in that house there. And I used to eat with Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sema Marhum Rahimahullah. So I asked my colleague there, Maulana Yunus Osman, I tell him that who's in charge of houses? was this year. He said, Osman Batar. I said, Osman Batar is my Mehman connection. So I went, Osman Ba, he also passed away in LA on a Friday. Allah give Osman Ba Jannatul Firdaus. I said, then Tuesday, I think I went to him. I said, Osman Ba, make a ghar kape, I need a house. He said, yes, the Kigan, he can take it. I said, Subhanallah, Maulana is telling me no house this year. One shot I got. I said, wait, just hold on. When I went to Maulana, I told him, Maulana, mujhe to ghar mil gaya. He said, you come yesterday and today you got house already. Who gave you house? Mm-hmm. I say, Osman Tahir. So it's Tahir, but our people, they mix it up a little bit. So it's Osman Tahir Muhammad, but they make Tahir Muhammad, shortcut. Like. So anyway, he said, better go and get the key. So I went. So in 1 week, we fix up the house, everything sorted out.
Mm-hmm.
So you must remember this, sister. You don't want problems, and these are flashes already, you know, see, shining. So that is my advice to you. So discuss this whole issue with your parents, then they can discuss it with your future in-laws, and then they can do something. They put something, you put something. You need a bachelor flat, you need a small flat. So, mashallah, in that way, then nobody will trouble you with your parents. The story and all these things. And if you want dalil and evidence, open Surah 24 and verse 31.
Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. 084-786-3132. Ustad, the question says here, the brother says that, dear Mufti Saab, if a Shia is a good Muslim, he don't believe in Mut'ah. Listen to the question. He don't believe in Mut'ah, etc. How can we judge him? Let's watch our words. Only Allah knows. Does the Quran say specifically Shias are kafir? Don't give me from Hadith, Ustad. Give me from Quran. If it's not from the Quran, then it's not relevant. Anonymous brother, Ustad.
First of all, we will have to clarify the question. Your question, you also, the way you pose the question, you also will go out of the fold of Islam. If you say Hadith is not relevant, you are rejecting the Quran itself. Quran Kareem states, Surah 16, verse 44. I read for you the verse. Write it down. You want from Quran? I'm giving from Quran. You say you want from Quran. So yeah, I'm giving from Quran. Surah 16, verse 44. So what the Quran says, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ, and we reveal to you the reminder, the Quran Sharif, to you, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what is your function? So لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ, you must explain to the people in detail. So that explanation is something else beside the Quran. So this is what the Quran is telling you. Surah 16, Surah Nahl, the B, and verse 44, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ, لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ, you must explain, O Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that to the people in detail what was revealed for them. وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, so they can wonder, ponder, take advice. Now by your statement that you say, that is irrelevant. So are you not rejecting this verse here? Think properly what you are saying. Second one, Surah 53, verse number 4. Almighty Allah states, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْوِي يُوحَىٰ, that remember Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not speak of his desires. Remember, he speaks from where? It is in هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْوِي يُوحَىٰ, that you must believe that the wahi comes in Quran and wahi comes to Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the Hadith, that is the Sunnah. So to make a statement that is irrelevant, rejecting it, that is kufr. The person who makes this kind and he believes that, it is out of the fold of Islam. So I gave you all that. Third one, Ati'ullah wa Ati'ur Rasul. So remember, be obedient to Almighty Allah, be obedient to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you say no, just give from Quran. Then what is the meaning of the Kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah? I'm asking you. It means Muhammadur Rasulullah is irrelevant. That's the word you're using. Astaghfirullah. And Ati'ullah wa Ati'ur Rasul. So Rasul becomes redundant. Think properly what you are saying. Now listen loud and clear. Shias are 100% kafir. And from the Quran, they are kafir.
Allahu Akbar.
You heard clearly? From the Quran, they are kafir. Surah 9. Verse number 100. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. Remember that those people who are the first and the foremost from the Muhajirin and Ansar to bring Iman. وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. And those people you must remember who follow them with sincerity, that they are the ones رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. That Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Almighty Allah. This is Quran. Surah 9 verse 100. So who are this? Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa, all of them are included. The Shias, especially the Isna Ashariya, who you are trying to defend with your crazy arguments, that come tell me you want from Quran. So I'm giving you Quran verse, that they say Abu Bakr is in Jahannam, Allah forbid, cursing him. I got their kitabs written by the Shias. You must remember Umar, their worst enemy, Allah forbid, cursing him. Your Iran, Shaitan Iran, they in Kashan, I went there, they put up a shrine for the fire worshipper, that Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi, and remember his name was Fairuz, and you must remember they said Shuja'uddin, we love you, you are very brave, and you did the good thing, you murdered and assassinated Umar. That is Shia Azam for you, brother. So you agree with that, then you join them straight in Jahannam also. So you must remember, they curse Sayyidina Abu Bakr, they curse Sayyidina Umar, they curse Sayyidina Usman, they curse our mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. That mother Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha, you want Quran? Surah 24, Surah Nur, you must remember verses 11 to 26. 16 verses Allah revealed to exonerate mother Aisha, and the Shias, they dancing and having parties and that, and they say Aisha finnar, Aisha. You want me to say these people are Muslim? 100% kafir they are. And if you believe in them, with them, you also join them, you're out of the fold. And if you're rejecting a hadith and say irrelevant, you also out of the fold of Islam.
Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. I love your answer, Ustad. 19 minutes to 12, you are tuning in, listening to the bliss of marriage. The brother says, but also the senior ulama, they are following us. How about that, Ustad? Anonymous, same brother, Ustad.
We're not interested in this ulama, this all. You Shias, you're by the people of. You know, money talks all languages. They tried to bribe me up when I was in Iran. They told me how much you want, how much it is you want. So we said we don't want nothing. AK is not for sale. Islam is not for sale. Shia the pakka kafirs.
Allahu Akbar. We go for an interval. Indeed, our beloved Fadilatul Ustad is not for sale, and Islam is not for sale. We will be back. Stay tuned.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Let's go to overseas, Ustad. I did something very, very wrong. I blamed my daughter-in-law for something she didn't do, Mufti Saab. My son got so angry and gave her a talaq. I realized my wrong and went to apologize. Now she doesn't want to come back. What do I do? My son doesn't want to talk to me either. It's urgent. I need answers, Mufti Saab.
How many talaq did your son give? If your son gave a one talaq and it just happened now a few days ago, so he can take her back during the iddat. There's no need for a new nikah. Is talaq a raj'i, a revocable divorce, and you will have two talaqs left for the future. So that is the first scenario. Second scenario, if he gave her two talaqs, then it's raj'i, revocable. So even then he can take her back. The Quran is clear on that. Surah 2 verse 229. So remember, at-talaq ubarratan. So in a case like that, he can take her back during the iddat without a new nikah, but he will only have one talaq left. Yes, remember, if he gave her three talaqs, then it's finished, it's curtains, and now they can't remarry, they can't reconcile. She will have to go into iddat, and if she wishes, she can marry somebody else, and there'll be a proper marriage, not, you must remember, a mock marriage for one day, 1 hour, like the Kufar Shias Muta and prostitution, with Khomeini the Kafir says that in his book which they gave me, Tawdihul Masail, you can make Muta for 1 hour. So ask any Shia if that is the truth or not. Ask them, are their daughters ready for 1 hour? So that is Shia Azam, 100% Kufar. So you must remember, so if you want to do that, remember all is haram, and your wife, you won't be halal for your wife, and your wife will not be halal for you, your ex-wife. So understand, Islam don't allow all this shaitan here. Yes, you must apologize, you the mother-in-law or father-in-law, to your daughter-in-law. You broke their home because of your lies, and your son also wastes his common sense. Without verifying, he went to give her talaq. So I gave you all three scenarios, so see what which one there, and be honest. If you gave three, don't lie and say it's one or two, because then they'll be living in sin, and every moment Allah's curse will be upon them.
The mother says two talaqs, Ustad. She says, how do I approach my son and ask for maaf?
Yes,
the mother, Ustad,
you must go and ask both of them for maaf, because you are the guilty party, that you want to just accuse people, do this. Mm. So it's still shukr, it's still two talaqs if you are speaking the truth. So he can still be salvaged and tell him to take his wife back, and in that way there they can love. After wife can't say she can't come back, because you must remember, if it's two talaq raj'i irrevocable, during the iddat he can take her back, even if she doesn't want to come back. So remember, she will still be considered his wife.
Sentan Ustad, anonymous, I am expecting twins, dear Mufti Sab. I am in so much of pain all over. I feel so weak. I have no libido at all. My husband doesn't want to understand and says the angel will curse me, and he forces himself onto me. I can't carry on like this. Anonymous Ustad,
remember, what your husband is doing is haram. He must realize that you are going through all the difficulty. That's why it's called labor and so forth. And Quran Sharif speaks of this. حَمَلَتُ أُمُّهُ وَهَنًا عَلَىٰ وَهَدٍ. When the lady is pregnant, then remember the weakness increases. And show him, your husband, Surah 31, verse number 14. Chapter 31, verse 14. So, and yours is double. So you must remember, you're expecting twins. Show your husband Surah 4, verse 19. They only know one side of the story. The angels will curse you. What about the angels will curse him? Because you must remember, for making zulam and so forth. So, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Treat your wives with justice, with, you know, respect and love. All that meanings come in there. In Surah 4, verse 19. Show him chapter 31 and verse number 14. So, where Almighty Allah speaks about the lady who falls pregnant. As the gestation, as the pregnancy progresses, you will get weaker and weaker and weaker, and more so now when you have double and twins coming, inshallah. So you need to explain all this to him. He needs to use common sense, although common sense nowadays is not so common also. Next one, remember that you and your husband, if he's got common sense, should be reading. I'm giving you the verses that I hope you will write it down, or we'll send out the podcast. My brother Tobela will prepare and just say Bliss of Marriage podcast. We'll send it out to whoever wants it. Mohan Arafat will send it out. I'll send it out. Inshallah, Salahuddin will send it out. So, Inshallah Al-Aziz. So, what are the verses? Write all this down. Surah chapter 37, verse 100. Rabbi Habali Min As-Salihin. Oh, beloved Allah, grant me pious children. So, that is chapter 37, just after Surah Yasin. Surah Safat. So chapter 37, verse 100. Chapter 3, verse Surah 3, verse 38. The first dua, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua. Second dua, Nabi Zakaria alayhi salam's dua. Surah chapter 3, verse 38. Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba innaka sami'ud dua. Oh, beloved Allah, grant me from your side that such offspring that are pure, that are chaste, that are good. Innaka sami'ud du'a. Verily, O Allah, you are the one who listens to the dua and supplication. Third dua, the one of Ibadur Rahman, the true, devoted, dedicated servants of Allah, Jalla wa'ala. Chapter 25, Surah Furqan, the criterion, verse 74. Read this dua abundantly, you, sister, for your husband and your children to come. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ. Ya Allah, grant us such spouses and offspring and children that are the coolness of the eyes. 3. 4th one, so you don't experience any miscarriage and so forth and so on. Chapter 13, Surah Ra'd, and verse number 8. Allahu ya'lamu ma tahmilu kullu unsa wa ma taghidu al-arhamu wa ma tazdad. Allah alone knows what every female will carry, whether you're carrying one, twins, triplets, or yours is the double mashallah twins. So wa ma taghidu al-arhamu wa ma tazdad. Surah Yusuf, chapter 12. This is Surah 13, just after Surah Yusuf. That is the thunder, Ra'd, verse 8. So there, Allah alone knows the contractions and expansions taking place. No gynecologist, no doctor, no professor knows this. Allah, ask the gynecologist how many hair on the fetus, on double the bitwins, who can tell you exactly with precision? Nobody. So remember, that is the knowledge of Almighty Allah, all-embracing, all-encompassing. 4th dua. 5th dua, last one. Now your gestation is continuing, you're entering your 7th month, 8th month. So start reading. Allah Jalla wala, make your labor pains also easy for you. Chapter 21, Surah 21, Surah Anbiya, verse 33. Awalam yara alladhina kafaru anna samawati wal arda kanata ratqa. Don't they see, the non-Muslims, how Allah created the heavens and the earth? Ratqa, they were stuck together. Fafataqnahuma. Allah says, we separated it easily. So you and your beloved twins will be separated. Allah Jalla Wala make things easy. Every day give out some charity and tell your husband he must behave like a human being and not like, and what he must do, he can't control his desires and his worms and he must fast. Tell him he must fast. So in that way there, then inshallah he'll become a good insan and a good Muslim and a good human being.
Ustaz, let's go to Johannesburg. Mufti Saab, I'm newly married and my wife is irritating me. She is a clingy, jealous bat. If I am in the house speaking to my sisters or my mother, she freaks out and starts freaking out and phones me from the room and asks where I am. Mufti Saab, she also follows me like a lamb wherever I go. She even waits for me outside the bathroom door. Please help me, Ustaz. Anonymous.
So remember, she loves you a lot, my brother. She don't want you out of sight. You understand? For ain't at the ree, where you gonna go and disappear? She's showing her love to you, my brother.
Subhanallah.
Okay, I know that when husbands say these kind things or wives say these kind things, you see, I told you this also 100 times and more. There's not 2 sides to a story, it's 3 sides to the story. The husband's story, the wife's story, all 90% they add masala and spices. And one is the true story. Yes, your wife is now over possessive over you. So remember that you call ghaira. Ghaira means that she has that self-esteem, self-respect. That's a very good quality. Because she's trying to tell you from now, please don't get involved with strange women and so forth and so on. Obviously, it mustn't reach that level where she's jealous that you are speaking to your own sisters, where you are speaking to your beloved mother, where you are speaking to your beloved nieces and so forth. So that is now going to another extreme. But if she is doing this to show you that she has that quality of self-respect, self-esteem, it's called ghaira, and in Islam for a woman to have that is very, very good. So instead of looking at the bad, then change it to the good. MashaAllah, my wife has so much ghaira in her and so forth. And then speak to her that she mustn't go overboard. Both of you sit and make dua. Yesterday I gave you all the 10 recipes on Monday night in the Q&A, I gave it to you. So follow the 10 recipes, make salam, share the utensils, and eat in the same plate, make dua together. So many things you can do, and inshallah, not only your bodies will meet, the hearts will meet. When the hearts meet, then there's unity of thought. Then you will follow her, you understood? And she will follow you, inshallah.
Ameen, 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 summa ameen. Ustaz, you have to listen to this one, yeah. Move this up, what rights do husbands have to bash their wives up? It is found in every culture, and I too am a victim of this. Please advise if we can also do husband bashing. I spoke to my brothers, and they're coming today to bash my husband after he comes from work. It's a surprise for him. Ustad.
So what is going to help? So all this bashing, what is going to help? So you must remember, for you also is haram, and what he did also is haram. So you must remember that. So you must say that I'm taking you and your brothers also, go put a claim. At least this much the police, they take serious. That, you know, that femicide and gender violence and all that, they take a bit serious. So go lay a charge against him and get one policeman there and tell him, put him in the cell for 1-2 nights. He'll come out straight like a miswak. You must remember that. So rather you charge him for assault, that you get your brothers, one is going to give him a blue eye, other one will give him a broken jaw, other one will give him this and all that. Your marriage will never be the same again. He did wrong, now you want to go do wrong. He is the zalim, now you're going to become the zalima also. So that is totally wrong. Islamically, that's wrong. What he did is totally haram, and what you are proposing to do is also haram. So what is the solution? Islam never allows wife, I mentioned this 100 times, does wife battering, assaulting the wife or assaulting the husband, all that totally haram. Remember that Islam is, Allah made us the masterpiece of his creation. So violence is not the issue. Husband wife is a partnership, and you both have to be sober in your calm, and then try and work through it. And he must apologize, and he must say all that. And you might, he'll never, and yes, your husband, your brothers come, they say, okay, let's sit now. And we write down the conditions that our sister is here in your marriage, and if this happens, this happened, this happened, then automatically talaq will fall and so forth. That you can do. But 3-4 of them come, they're going to bash him up good and solid. When he gets his chance, what do you think? He's going to leave you. He will give you another hiding also. So you must remember that. So all haram dandas you're doing. So remember, he's wrong, and what your brother. So just call this whole thing off. Yes, you want to do something, go lay a charge against him by the police, a charge of assault. So that is fine. That's very good. I'll encourage that. But not this what you all are doing. That definitely is unacceptable.
The sister says, Ustad, if we do that, you think it will lead to a talaq? You think give me talaq after that? Because I don't want to lose him.
You don't want to lose him, but you call your brothers to panel beating, what you think? He won't give you talaq. So you must remember that such a panel beating, your 2-3 brothers will give him. While they're hitting him, he'll give talaq also. So you must remember, you have to think properly and all that. Or give him a warning and tell him, if this, call your brothers, no violence, and remember that, warn him. If this happens again, then definitely we're going to the police, and these are the conditions that he must sign and so forth. So that you can do, no problem.
Ustad, let's go to Pochepston. They want to know regarding the telegram. Mufti Sahab, we're not getting no hadiths, no tafsir, no nothing. Ustad.
Okay, what you must do is, all of you who are not receiving anything, just send me a number. And if you know how telegram works, then write telegram. And if you don't know how it works, just put group. But put your name and your number there. Just say your name is Mr. So or Mrs. So. You don't have to put your whole name. So Mrs. Patel or Mrs. Desai or whatever. So you just put there, and you put your cell number, and you must have WhatsApp. Then we'll put you in the group, and you'll get everything, inshallah.
So Ustad, what happens if my hubby is a great, great gambler? We love off this earnings of his. He wants to teach me his tricks, Ustad. Is this money halal for us? Because he never loses, Ustad, anonymous sister.
So you must remember that he loses, but he's making you a fool. You must remember, so you thinking. Obviously, from A to Z, all the gambling and the action is haram, the money is haram, he's feeding you haram, feeding the children haram, and all of you land up in Jahannam. That's what Nabi alayhi salam said. Kullu lahmin nabata min suhtin. Every piece of flesh that develops and is growing with haram, with gambling, فَالنَّارُ أَوْلَى بِهِ, then the resting place for that is Jahannam, open Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad, totally haram. So you seem to be very happy with what he's doing. So remember that you don't learn all these tricks of his, and you must remember that you must give him ultimatum, you and the children walking away, and thus we can't be eating day and night haram. So you are being fed with haram, and once you get fed fed with haram, then all the vices seem very attractive. That is the result of it. So people will lose their shame. You see today the non-Muslims, majority of them, because of their wine and swine, they lost their religion, they lost their haya, they lost their shame, they lost everything almost. So you must remember that Islam gives you the solution to lead a pure and a chaste life.
Ustad, there's a message coming here from Azad. Will says that, dear respected Mufti Sahab, our senior Mulana Yahya Bam Sahib suffered a stroke currently in Landmade ICU. Please request for duas for him, Ustad.
See, I received this message from 2-3 people this morning. We made dua. Allah Jalla Wala give him Mulana Yahya Bam Shifa Kamil and Ameen. All those who are ill and sick wherever they are, in the clinics, in the hospitals, at home, and we give our charity also for them. When we hear people are sick, Dawu مرضاكم بالصدقة. So give out dawa. One dawa medication for people who are ill is charity. Give out 1 rand, 5 rand, 10 rand. So packet of biscuits, whatever. Allah, last question, Allah give them shifa.
Ustad, I took a second wife. She is too demanding. I just can't handle it. Now she's pregnant, Ustad. I am tired of her. Should I leave her or ditch her for another one, Ustad? Anonymous brother.
You can't ditch anybody. You must blame yourself. You looked at her and she was very fair in complexion. Or she came with a healthy bank balance. Now you used her and now she's pregnant. Now you don't want to live with the responsibilities. And now you say she's too demanding and all. I told you all. You get married, second wife, this wife, and then you say, no, this happened. You don't want to do justice. While she was single, you could fulfill your lust and desires, so it was fine. Now the children are coming, now the expenses will come. She say, I need this. Now you say, no, she's too demanding. It's your fault, brother. You can't divorce her. Totally haram it is. Okay, that is finished now for today. Our bless of marriage. Inshallah, we'll send the podcast out in the afternoon. And inshallah, let's give you the rundown for today's programs. At 12 o'clock, the news with Brother Yusuf Ali. And thereafter, inshallah, current affairs with Brother Alfas and Kosi. 1 o'clock, Zohar Azan. And thereafter, inshallah, that Surah Anbiya, I'll start with verse number 12, inshallah. And thereafter, inshallah, we will hear from our archives, and that will be Surah Baqarah, and that will be 132. Today will be verses 260 to 61, inshallah. Allah Jalla Wala accept us all for His deen, and always make special dua. Today is Wednesday, so between Zohar and Asr, duas are accepted. Allah make easy. Assalamu alaikum.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.